gravel was being used to fill in sewer lines. Material dug out for the Albany sewer lines is being dumped on river bottom land adjacent to the bridge approach that was earlier constructed of rich topsoil. This spill dirt is deposited free to the land speculator who will realize windfall profits from converting the floodplain land to non-floodplain commercial property. If the cities think they need rock for backfill, there is quarry rock available at the same cost, comparable distance, and of better quality for these purposes. The fill dirt excavated from the sewer lines could be stockpiled for future bridge approaches. At a Benton County hearing, agri industry officials stated that much agri was being used for non-required purposes. The industry also quoted Dagami in a Benton County hearing that at current usage rates, all aggregate deposits will be exhausted in 20 years. What will we do then for aggregate? And some of our best land will be gone. I'm reminded of a comment that Senator Roberts made before his illness when he said, I really don't know very much about planning, being very modest. But the one thing that I do know is that when we plan, our clients, our future generations, and because we can't consult with those clients who are yet unborn, then we need to protect their options. By allowing aggregate extraction on these best quality soils, we are closing the options for future generations. An alternative would be to limit aggregate extraction to riverbeds. Now here, the farmers and the aggregate industry agree. They disagree on many things, but we would like to see aggregate extraction from riverbeds. The industry loses interest in this, however, because of opposition from the powerful fish lobby and the Board of State Lands, who apparently charge more for aggregate than farmers do. We hear the complaint that hauling distance is a tremendous factor and we have to get it from the river bottom soils, but we believe that hauling distance isn't as big a factor as the industry would have you believe. Aggregate is being hauled from Corvallis to the coast and from Albany to Salem.
Mr. Chairman, that's extremely expensive. Extremely expensive.
But it's happened.
It may happen, Lois, but what's happened, and it's happening in Portland too, because they're running out of aggregate, that is escalating the price.
I think there's some real problems in how we do it, and I guess the other thing that I don't want to diminish the fact that we've put housing over some very keen mineral aggregate resources. So it's not just I am concerned about looking at the resource rationally. I'm not sure that at this point in time in a session, it's a whole other issue. It's like the recycling of the water, but I do appreciate your concern.
You asked about whether we thought it was necessary that something happen. If anything at all happens on aggregate, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to do anything at all on aggregate, then it's imperative that if you're going to loosen up and allow batching plants, for instance, then that you also somehow give some direction to the courts, the LCDC, to the planners, with a slight tip of the hand of the legislature saying that the renewable resource is to be given priority over the resource which is not going to be renewed. Now, another way of doing that is language that was presented to you in very, very rough draft, and if you're hearing this again, I'll have it typed up in more reasonable form, but you've got it in a paper that looks like this.
Yes, I have that.
Okay, yeah. And we're saying that add to line 11, page 2, after the word resources, this wording, provided that a county governing body shall not approve an operation for the mining of aggregate resources on a lot or parcel with soils predominantly in capability classes 1 or 2. These are those rich river bottom soils that have such tremendous productivity. At any rate, unless it would be reclamation. So that's basically our concern, and we're saying that if you're doing anything on aggregate, then you need to give farm soils protection. Unfortunately, you're right, the time in the session is very late, and I'm not sure what you're going to be able to do, but we would certainly like to see that protection, some additional protection of farmland on that. Thank you very much.
We'll also look at, if we proceed on, at least it would be my attention to look at the original language of what you had in 237, pull that out, also look at the amendments here, and take a look at whatever other people are offering. And if we don't have time, we'll
This bill is fraught with problems. As you know, we've decided on some of the major issues in 237, and it's dealing with churches and everything else, and I don't want to reopen a sore that I think we've closed and we've done a reasonable job. The aggregate, I don't mind dealing with.
Yeah, I'm just really talking about aggregate only, but I'm thinking total.
Because we started dealing with the churches. And,
No.
That's what 234 unamended does, see, and I just want to make clear I'm looking at aggregate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've tried to make that clear to everybody that's contacted the office that okay. If we were to use...
Well, I know, but I think we have to get our audience too, Todd, because I know Reverend Patterson and some are deeply concerned about that. I want them to understand.
Yeah, if we proceed on with that, we're talking about aggregate. My concern is even if we talk about aggregate, whether we can bring anything forward that people will be... that will reach some kind of balance to...
I understand Lois is what she's doing here, and I'd have to check the now Todd and I have gone to the ORS yet. She's calling for a reclamation effort if they do go in class 1 and 2 soils. It wouldn't prevent them, it's just that there'd have to be a reclamation project, which I don't know is all that awful, but I will say I don't know that a grape grower ought to have to put up with an asphalt plant next to his vineyard. I don't know about that either. So
we have some conflict with respect to, which kind of farmer we're talking about and where that stuff.
You go up and tell Senator Hamby, please, that we're ready for her.
She's on the phone. I went and talked to her. The secretary should be down as soon as she's off.
All right. Well, you tell her that I particularly requested go back up. Or I personally requested she come down.
We will send the sergeant of arms.
Because we're ready to move on to bills.
No, for 234.
Pardon me, Madam Chairman.
Yes, 234. It's the Department of I suppose the Department of Transportation is here. Right. Excuse me, we get a little fuzzy at the end of the day about you. About
we've been doing several things, Jack, so...
It's Jack. Oh, excuse me, Frank or Jack or...
Jack Solis, I believe.
I know his last name, I do know. Anyway, could you just quickly either hand in your amendments to 234 on the aggregate issue?
They're already there on nice blue paper. Madam Chairman, for the record, I'm Jack Solis, Chief Counsel for the Department of Transportation. One thing I'd like to explain before we get further into the issue...
Don't filibuster us, just tell us what the problem is.
Several counties have already included provisions for batching and concrete plants in their comprehensive plans. Other counties did not and referred to the statutory definition of processing under the assumption that it included asphaltic batch plants and concrete batching plants because historically in the industry that was the way they defined it. Unfortunately, legally that isn't good enough. So a lot of their comprehensive plans are tied to the statutory definition of the processing of aggregate. And this latest amendment is an agreement between the parties listed on it as to the definition of aggregate.
Oh, I can very well understand that. Look at the parties listed on it.
All right, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple to move on, but I want to ask you a question. Wonder if we were to put the reference... And Mary Ann Hutton, let's get it all done real fast, can we?
Well, no, we're not going to get that. Well, we can get them on
I just
on
want to
record.
Ask the question.
We can get them on
if we
record,
have a rehabilitation program involved with these amendments, would you have any objection to it, either you or Mr. Solis?
Madam Chairman, Senator Day, I think under the Soils and Geology Department, when you open up an aggregate source now, you have to put in the reclamation plan and have that approved by them before you can even get a permit to open one.
All right, what about in class 1 and 2 soils if we designated that and cited chapters 5?
Well, I don't think there's any problem with that.
All right, thank you, Madam Chairman.
Okay, thank you. We've got your amendments.
You want to say anything? Can we ask Mary Ann Hutton, in all fairness, they've been waiting here too. Do you have anything to say?
I think that in all, are you from out of town? Are you back? Or I guess the consideration that I would say, I don't think that the committee is ready to move on this bill. I mean, on the amendments regarding aggregate, we've got a lot more sorting out to do and trying to put some various amendments together. If you have amendments that are separate from the blue sheet, then we're going to get everything. My intention, and I think it would be John's, to get everything on the table and begin to see how. What kind of accommodation there might be, if there is, and that would be my intention in terms of trying to deal with this. Go ahead,
Madam Chair, and that is why you have the blue sheet in front of you of trying to come together and expedite the committee's process, at least
with regard to the definitional issue. And on those other issues, certainly some of the other amendments that have been submitted would appreciate an opportunity to respond to those at the appropriate time.
Yeah, we will, but certainly not. Yes, please.
The point I'd make is there is
excuse
some...
Excuse me, LB, I do want to hear from the person who... If you come forward, sir, and identify yourself and say what you need to say on the record.
Art Heisenreiter, representing the sand, gravel, and asphalt concrete producers. And I asked some of the folks from the grate industry who were ready to leave, I said, maybe you'd care to hear what I might have to say regarding the grapes and that, but I don't want to take from, if they're willing to stay later, I'd like to have you hear some of the...
Okay, we're not going to do it today.
All right.
I think that if you want to get together and talk about
surely.
It privately and come back, that's all we do is we do these things somewhat, that would be helpful, but now, Senator Day.
Three or four things I'd like to have Todd look at. I'd like to know that we could tie in the reclamation as part of the transportation solaces amendments. And the second thing I'd like to know is how we could control conflicting uses such as batch plants next to vineyards. I'd like to know that. And those are the only two things that I picked up all afternoon. Okay.
Okay. I think we're not, no one here disagrees that there is a need for. No, there is competition for the uses, and it's very important. Let's pick up Senate Bill 226. I think
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to move the amendments dated June 3rd, 1983 from the Water Resource Caucus. And you have them in front of you. Proposed revisions to Senate Bill 226. This is what they look like.
Yes, we have.
We discussed these, Senator Hamby, and I, if you'll trust us, I will tell you that what it really does is tie in the water pollution laws, and this is the one.
Senator Day moves that we amend the Legislative Council version of Senate Bill 226, dated 4/29/83, to include the Water Resources Caucus. Dated June 3rd as it's been amended.
Sure.
You can see that there's hand. I guess it really is the amendment. Mm-hmm. It's Xeroxed in our...
I think what I would do, if I could, Madam Chairman, mm-hmm. just to clarify it, I think that I would move the amendments dated 4/12/83, the Senate Bill 223, that are dated from Legislative Council 223-2, and the Water Resources Caucus amendments, June 3rd, 1983, to Senate Bill 226. I think that's what I've got to do.
You said 223, you meant 226.
I meant 226, and I'm a little rummy, and I beg my pardon, but we're on 226, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Good.
And we all have the same two pieces of paper in front of us,
right.
And we are moving them as amendments.
You have those, Todd, and you
yes.
have the reference
Senate
we're
Bill
going to, okay?
226.
Call for the question.
Are there objections to adopting the amendments? So ordered.
Madam Chairman, I move 226 as amended, gross to the House with a due, or to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Day.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Stockton.
Aye.
Senator Hurd. Senator Monroe.
We have four. Thank
only
you.
Only four of us at a time.
Madam Chair,
no,
I would move.
With
that. Start 223.
Yes, I think we're ready to take up Senate Bill 223.
All right. Can I just say a few things before we move those amendments, because we've got a little problem on the amendments.
Yes, we have a little problem on, let us say that we have, I think we ought to look at both amendments. We have one dash 223-3, and we have one 223-4. And the problem with that Senator Day and I've discussed it with four is in sub four, line 7 on the second page. And I guess there's a policy decision which is different from what we have had presented to us before. This is different than what we looked at last time we met.
Major difference, if I can, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Major difference here is that The amendments are not correct. We'd have to change the amendments to start with. Even if we adopted this, you would go on line, if I can just give you a quick change, I don't think Todd penciled them in, but you'd go on line 10 after the word director, and you would strike the water and put the application. Then you'd strike policy review board on 11. Then you'd continue shall thereafter, and then you would add the words be void, period, and strike the rest of line 11 and 12. So it would read, the application shall thereafter be void, period. Because the way it reads there, they could never issue another minimum stream flow, and we didn't want to do that. But the major policy question here is for us is to decide, after a two-year period where a request for established minimum stream flow has been made, that these be made void. Should they be longer? Should it be longer than 2 years? Should it be 5 years? At what given time should we not hold on to these and dismiss them? Now, Todd indicated that he felt that by not having the time frame, that this keeps a pressure on the agency to, because these applications are being held, the rights aren't really truly being established until the minimum stream flows are established. On the other hand, there could be a number of applications that simply aren't worthy of a lot of consideration, and I just don't know. And John isn't here. He's more used to working with that, and I don't know, Todd. What would be your recommendation? Is 2 years, if that isn't good, what would you recommend we ought to put in there, I guess? Because I really don't know for sure.
Senator Day, in looking at your 223-4 draft on the first page, lines 7 and 8, where you've changed that so that the requests are funneled through the Environmental Quality Commission,
they are.
The State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Seems to me that by doing that, you've put some certainty into the process in that Fish and Wildlife or EQC do not have to accept applications for stream flows from anybody, and if they see a need on a stream, then they can go ahead and establish it. And they have had experience in the past in establishing these flows, and I would suspect that most or all of them that they submitted to the Water Policy Review Board would be legitimate stream flow recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, from a drafting standpoint, I'm not sure that this is necessary.
Sub 4 laws, I guess, what he's advocating for.
Oh, all right.
I think what we're doing, if we include sub 4, and I just wanted to air it so that the committee members are here, we don't have to sort of redo this whole thing on Monday. It seems to me the issue of what we have with 4 is the fact that you're going to take, by sub 3, we've set a priority date when it was filed. And if we take the amendments as Todd explained in the first section, saying the DEQ and Fish and Wildlife or the Water Resources Board, or in fact the Water Resources Board, are the only people who they're going to control which applications come in.
Yeah.
Then what we're doing with sub 4 is we're wiping out the priority date.
After 2 years.
After 2 years,
if
they fail after then 2 years. 2 years, as far as I'm concerned, is it's far too short. I'd look at 5 or 10, but I don't know if we need it. It's a question of how strong we, how important we care about that priority date when the application was filed.
Well, I think it makes some sense to have that established. I really do. I think it. That I can tell by the reaction that it has a significant bearing. That we be reasonable is important. These amendments obviously were somewhat suggested by agricultural people who still, even if we adopt them, oppose this bill vigorously. Not even a little bit, but vigorously. So you know whether we do it. My reaction is to try to reasonably bring the pendulum, irrespective of their opposition. And Maybe 5 years would be better. I don't know. I have no objection. But I'm not sure that I agree necessarily that any entity or any person can come forth. I think the screening by the fish resource agencies has some merit, and it gives some degree of argument on the floor for us. Because I can tell you, this is going to be a wild river fight, and we're going to have to fight for it as a committee if we really mean to do this, okay? I don't think there's any question in my mind. So I'll leave it to you folks. I'll fight either way, but I'd rather fight on some premises that we took in consideration everyone's concern, okay?
Yeah. I just wanted us to... I'm not sure that we ought to move this out in deference without the chairman today, but I want to put these amendments. I find, and I don't know how the other people, maybe we can agree to the first part, at least the First Amendment, and say that that we could...
And not the second.
Right, and we'll leave the second That's one fine. Open for a policy decision sure. that comes up or down vote when the chairman...
Well, I must tell you, I think we ought to have a full committee. I mm-hmm. don't want to go down yeah. here with four people fighting it. The split. Whole damn committee is going to be on record on this one if we're going to do it. Because I'm not,
but
I don't mind carrying it, but the full committee is going to be on record, okay?
Yeah, let's... I think that we ought to go ahead and amend.
Well, we can amend it and gross it and bring it back to committee, can't we? Not send it out, but amend it.
Well, I'm not sure we want to even engross the sub four until we get that ready. We can just delete it.
We'll wait. We'll wait.
Do that. But I think we do need to consider it. Committee members need to talk around and come in firm Monday with a ready to go.
Whatever you want to do. I only suggest. Sure. I don't mind carrying it, but I'd like to carry it with a rope so that we said we did our thing, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And this...
A rope with a knot at the end of it.
Well, I want everyone to have a chance to vote on it. You
know, I'm willing to spend some time considering that the sub four, and I'm not saying I'm rejecting sub four. I think 2 years are too short, but we can work around with that, I know.
One thing I like is it established that we'll schedule it for Monday mm-hmm. for review, okay?
Definitely.
Because I think time's a waste. If we're going to do anything, we've got to do it, okay? And he's got 122 scheduled, does he not?
That's correct.
Okay. Are we all done?
Thank you.
Steve, I got the news.